Good morning, church. Today is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. It marks the event of Jesus riding down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, and we call this the triumphal entry. It starts the ball rolling on all the events that are going to lead to Jesus' crucifixion, which is really the turning point in history. The event is recorded in all four Gospels. And let me read you what Luke has to say. Luke was a doctor, and he wrote this in his account. This picks up, by the way, right after Jesus has been telling a parable to those who were gathered at Zacchaeus' house for a meal. Luke 19, starting at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" They didn't understand Jesus' kingdom quite yet, but the people had heard about the miracles and teachings, and maybe they had seen some of them in person. This could only, in their opinion, be the Messiah, God's anointed one. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was the new king. And they were excited, and they were praising God and shouting, "Hosanna." Normally, we would start our Palm Sunday service with our children's palm parade. I know it feels a little bit strange not to be together waving palms and singing and shouting praise to Jesus, which is how we normally start. We're supposed to be hunkering down at home and social distancing. So today we're going to praise Jesus in place. Let me explain a little bit more about that. Several years ago, I was working on disaster relief teams, and I was in Central Florida when Hurricane Jean made landfall. We were kind of in trouble because our crew had a church roof that was half finished. We were converting it to a steel roof and having hurricane ties put in, which tied the roof all the way down into the foundation so that it couldn't possibly blow off. And we were kind of in trouble because we were only half finished and the hurricane was coming in. We had been hoping that it was going to turn out to sea. Well, all afternoon as they worked, we could see the skies getting darker and darker. And by the time they finished, the outer bands of rain were just starting to hit us. I stayed behind to photograph and video the effort for the organization that I worked for, and then I headed back up to the house where I was staying to grab my luggage and head for the airport. My team had headed on ahead of me to the airport to make sure that our flights were good and everything was organized, and by the time I got to the house, I got a phone call that said everything was canceled, that nobody was getting out at all. Well, later that day, which was September 26, 2004, Jean made landfall at peak intensity. It was a Category 3 hurricane, and it had winds about 120 miles an hour. Where we were, closer to the Gulf side, winds kept picking up, and finally we got an order from the governor to shelter in place. Now, a shelter in place order meant that it was too dangerous to be out on the road or to even go to a shelter, so that the best shelter is where you are, the house that you live in. Now, I was a rookie to hurricanes, and I had worked communication on Francis and on Charlie, but I'd never been through one, and this was an entirely new thing for me. I figured I was pretty safe in this house. It had been built to withstand hurricanes, but I'd never experienced anything like this, and I was all by myself in the house because my teammates were sheltering in place at the airport. I admit I was more than a little scared, and I tried sleeping and couldn't sleep, and all night that hurricane just kept coming straight at us across the land. So I did what any brave man would do. I got intense in my worrying about it. And because I wasn't in control of what happening, I kept checking the location of the hurricane. About every 10 minutes, I would use this uplink on my computer. I had a special modem built into my phone, and I would connect and try to figure out where this hurricane was. And I spent half the night sweating about this thing and worrying about this thing. And then the other half praying about it. You know, so I would alternate between worrying and praying. At some point, and I'm not sure exactly when, maybe sometime in the wee hours of the morning, I kind of gave in to God. I got to a point where I had been worrying so much that I just gave it over to Him, and I was able to rest in Him. And it wasn't too long after that that the hurricane downgraded to a Category 2, and then it turned north, and it missed us entirely. Now, just because we weren't hit doesn't mean it wasn't still dangerous outside. The winds were still very high speed, and we couldn't leave the house until the storm moved away. We had to wait until it died down and some of the flooding went down before we could even safely venture outside. Well, right now, our governor has issued a stay-at-home order, and it's not quite as serious as an order to shelter in place, but it's pretty close. It's serious enough that we really should only leave our homes to buy essentials or to exercise or unless we work in essential services. Like me sheltering in that house in Florida during the storm, people are worried. We keep checking to see how bad the virus is getting, where it is, how many of us have it, and if we're honest, there's some fear that goes with that. And it's a bit dangerous out there, even if you're careful. But if we are careful and we do our part, the hurricane will turn away eventually. For the moment, we're stuck at home, and I hope at some point, and maybe it's happening already for you, but at some point that you begin to find that place where you can give the worry over and find rest in God, to trust Him even in the storm. It's weird to be home and not to go to church on Easter Sunday. We were thinking about this morning. Maybe this is the first time in your entire life that you haven't been to church on an Easter Sunday or on a Palm Sunday, which it is today. But it's where we are, right? So guess what? We are staying at home. We are sheltering where we are. And we aren't having a Palm Sunday parade. No shouting Hosanna together. No waving our palm branches together. But that doesn't mean we can't praise Jesus anyway. We just have to praise in place, to praise God wherever we are and no matter what we're going through. We're pretty good at praising God during the good times, aren't we? But when things are tense and we aren't sure about what's coming next, it gets a little harder. You know, what about in the middle of an epidemic? Can we praise God? It's really easy to praise God when we feel like God has just given a whole bunch of good stuff to us. But what about when things are not going so well, when things are bad? You know, God's people weren't exactly going through easy times when Jesus rode down that hill on the donkey as they praised His name. Israel was under occupation by the Romans. Just before this, Pontius Pilate had just killed a group of rebellious Samaritans, and he had killed all of their leaders to make sure that they didn't rebel again. So maybe the Jews thought that they were next. Things were pretty tense. And then here comes Jesus. Here comes some light. Here comes some hope. Jesus the King. And they praised Him in the middle of this political and military storm. Do you know the story of King Jehoshaphat? It's a great story. The part we're interested in is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I want to read a little bit or tell you a little bit of that story. The Bible tells us that the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Maonites decided to war against King Jehoshaphat, and they formed a massive army, and they started marching towards Jerusalem. And they were marching from the other side of the Dead Sea. They were already partway to there when Jehoshaphat heard about it. The passage tells us he was alarmed I think that's the understatement of the year. I think his socks were scared off. They were vastly outnumbered, and they knew that they were probably going to die. So Jehoshaphat decided to talk to God about it. And he proclaimed a fast for the entire country, for the entire nation of Judah. It says in verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. In verse 12, they said to God, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And they bowed down and they worshiped God. Now, I'm guessing that most of us are doing the same thing. We're seeking help from God. We're going to God because we're in crisis, right? We're praying for safety. We're praying for deliverance. We're looking to God because so far science has failed us. Now, that doesn't mean they're not trying. The doctors and everyone working on this are doing the very best that they can, but the work is overwhelming. And science will catch up. But we need God now. Right now. So what did God tell the people of Judah when they talked to him about their situation, when they talked to God about their fear? In this prayer, they acknowledged their powerlessness against the situation, that by themselves they really couldn't do anything to change this massive thing that was coming at them. And God says to them in 2 Chronicles 20:15, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. The battle is not yours, but God's. And so they went out to meet this huge army with their tiny little force. They got all dressed up and they went out to the battlefield. And in verse 20, it says that King Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army. It says, they were saying over and over again, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now, this is in front of the army. This is on the way to meet a massive group that was bigger than anything they knew they could handle. And then a weird thing began to happen. As they began to praise God, the opposing army started turning against each other, and they battled until they were all dead. So along comes Judah's army, singing and praising God all the way, and they get to the battlefield, and there is nobody to fight against. God looked after it. The enemy was dead. Now, think about the timing of this. I was thinking about, why did this happen right then? Right when they began to praise God? Well, I think it's because at that moment, when they began to praise God, they really began to trust God. It's a turning point for them. So, here we are in the middle of this terrible pandemic. And why would we praise God? I mean, right now, things are getting worse every day. More people are getting infected. More people are getting just into terrible shape, and some people are dying. And we aren't even supposed to leave our homes. It's a little frightening. It's very intimidating. So why should we praise God? Well, we praise him because we trust him. And we trust him because he is God. And he knows who we are, and he knows where we are, and he knows what we're going through today. Today's the beginning of Holy Week. It's usually the shouts of Hosanna, the palm parade. These things lead us into praise. This is a day that we set aside each year for specifically praising God and recognizing Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. We acknowledge that on this day. But you know, you can praise Jesus no matter where you are, no matter what's going on. We don't have palm branches to wave, but we do have palms to wave. You know, we can lift our hands in praise to God. We can wave our palms. We can do jazz hands and shout Hosanna to God and acknowledge who Jesus is. I want to give you a psalm to meditate on, something that this is your take home for the week. It's Psalm 103, and I really encourage you to take time to sit down and to read it and to meditate on it and maybe pray it You know, you can pray the Psalms out loud. You can make them into your prayer. This psalm ends this way, and I know you're familiar with a lot of the psalm. You'll find as you read through it, you are. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere and in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You know that chorus? That comes from here. Encourage you to remember, pray hard, trust God, and stay safe. Let's pray together. Lord God, continue to watch over us, guide us, and lead us in every point. Allow us to hear your voice speaking to us and open our hearts. And now may the Lord God of heaven bless you with trust in him. May he fill your heart with praise. May he deliver you and me and those working on the front lines of this battle from this terrible enemy. May he keep you safe and healthy and strong in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless you.